Hey, America.
Start listening now.
All right, everyone. Welcome to part five of our...
No.
And we are back. Welcome to 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the cool country that's corrupt AF. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And you can check us out on social media. We're doing it right away this time. We did it.
Wow.
It
almost looks like we're ending the show.
Yeah.
Oh, good night, everybody.
We followed the script. Imagine that. But yeah, check us out on the socials that everyone is mediaing about. And that's on Twitter and Facebook at 12pointsUSA. You can also check us out on email.
Why are we bad at this?
Check us out on email at 12pointsforamerica@gmail.com. Check out all of our latest emails. And you can also see us at 12pointsforamerica.com. And there's still a picture of Danny reacting to I Didn't Know.
Yeah.
Because at the time, he in fact...
I did not know.
He didn't know. He had no idea.
We have a veritable buttload of ESC news, so why don't we just get it cracked wide open?
May as well.
Oh, my God. All right,
Open up, y'all.
We have the singer from the Netherlands. Yes. What's a name that I am literally not even going to try
Not
I,
it.
I be- Sam, take it.
I believe it's Jean-Gu McCroy.
Okay. Easier than I thought.
Yeah.
He's Scottish.
Jean-Gu McCroy.
Jean-Gu McCroy from the Netherlands.
By way of Suriname and evidently now Glasgow.
Okay. Yeah.
No, he was a Paramaribo-born soul singer. He's released 2 studio and 1 live album since emigrating to the Netherlands, probably about, within the last 6 or 7 years or so. It's become pretty popular, actually. He's one of the sort of session musicians on a major talk show over there called, I want to say As the World Turns, so that's basically what it translates to.
Sure.
He also
World Turning currently in.
In Dutch, that's not too far off.
Except it's all one long word.
Yes, it is.
And a lot more guttural.
Yeah. A lot of W's next to U's. I don't know how those ever get pronounced.
And a dorp at the end.
Yeah.
It's got dots.
I'm really excited for this guy's song. He's a soul singer.
Yeah.
We haven't had a like really cool soul tune in a while, I feel like. I mean, maybe I'm just forgetting something.
Not that I can think of. I mean, I guess there's probably been a little bit of influence, but like for them to be like identifying as a soul singer and for them to really be that sort of wheelhouse, I'm really, really looking forward to hearing what he's got to say or what he's got to sing.
Watch it just be like a country song somehow.
I know. Well, it is the Netherlands.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what
closest
they do.
We had was Austria a few years ago with Nobody but you. That was like slightly treading around soul.
Yeah, soul to R&B-ish. Good stuff. Listen to his albums if you can. They're on, streaming on the normal places. Find them on YouTube and all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what Jean-Gu does. Mm-hmm. So, yay.
All right, what else we got?
We've got a couple of results, actually. Over in Lithuania and Norway, we've had a heat and a semifinal, respectively. So over in Lithuania, we've had 6 qualifiers from the first heat, including Monica Maria, who was one of the favorites going into last year's national final. If the Netherlands are not giving us a country song, Monica Maria's song is kind of country-kissed, I guess. So we might be getting it from the Lithuanians rather than the Dutch. So we'll see what happens with there. I have to say, the song that I shouted out last week, Andy Vyk's Why, it made it through to the next level. I am a boss. Anyway, let us never speak of that again. Moving on, Norway. We have 1 qualifier out of the first semifinal that focused on singers from the south of Norway, and that was Ray Lee with the song Wild. If you liked Fuego and if you liked Replay, you'll like this.
Mm-hmm. Literally those.
Yeah. Yeah. But with a little bit more Slavko.
Slavko approved.
Very kid-tested.
Slavko approved.
If you didn't see the performance, she was rocking one of those super, super long braids and whipping that around, as our favorite Montenegrin has done in the past.
Well, like 6th favorite, as it turned out.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, he actually tweeted out how much he liked the performance. Like, I wish for you to win. I'm like, good on you, Slavko.
Good.
We've got some songs from Latvia. We don't necessarily know which 8 of the songs of the, I think it's 26 in the long list, will go to a one-shot final. But these songs are all on YouTube, so you can... They'll basically take the streaming numbers and the YouTube views and the comments into account as they make their cut to the top 8.
That's it. It's a behind closed doors. We don't know how it'll actually be.
Basically, yeah.
Winnowed down.
But I mean, but then once you get those top eight, then it'll be a full-on national final.
Sure.
So there will be a more direct audience participation. Mm-hmm. I can speak. So a couple of standouts so far. A lot of attention has been put on Samantha Tina with her song Still Breathing. She is one of those singers who keeps on trying and keeps on trying. I think so. I've seen her in Bradley almost every national final in Latvia, and I think one from Lithuania for the past probably 7 or 8 years. But yeah, we're also seeing familiar names like Marcus Riva and Edgars Krellis who are trying again. They've tried it before. Madara, who had a great song in Latvian a couple years ago, is trying again. It's her, the Latvian language, and a cello. Also a shout out to Katrina DiMata, who is singing the song Heartbeats. She was a member of Arzemieki.
Uh-huh. She had a cake to bake.
She did have a cake to bake.
Was she the triangle or the tambourine?
She was the violin.
The violin.
She was the violin. She was the bunt pan.
The bunt pan.
How many of these songs are in Latvian?
It looks like only about 2 or 3 of these songs are actually in Latvian, which is kind of a shame because it's a really cool language to listen to. Mm-hmm. We have a return from a familiar name, Aminata Savadogo, who sang Love Injected back in 2015. Mm-hmm. A little powerhouse. She's got 2 songs in the running, one from Marcus Riva with Impossible, and the other with Samantha Tina, Still Breathing.
Huh.
So she's just a songwriter this time around?
Yeah, just a songwriter, twice over.
I'm surprised the same person wrote both of those songs because one of them is not good. And it's Marcus Rivas. But I gotta say, every time I listen to Still Breathing, the more I love it. This might be the first song of this cycle that really has, like, really, really captured my attention as, like, this might have something. It's interesting. It's, especially with, like, the instrumentation is kind of wild. There's this big, crazy...
That was Norway, wild, with Rayleigh. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry.
There's this crazy sort of bass drop thing a couple of times, and that is paired in the staging with these almost unsettling backing vocalists that are, they're in, like, bright yellow or green outfits, and they're standing like arms akimbo and being very, very motionless besides singing, all the while the singer, Samantha, is going crazy. It's unlike the song Wild. It's wild.
Is this like skeletons? Does this feel like
it's college capstone theater performance?
It's not that avant-garde.
Okay. Yeah, not quite. Not quite.
Okay.
So maybe a little more, not quite as outwardly sexy as Maruv, but a little bit more of that vibe.
It's, yeah, think about halfway between Maruv and skeletons. Maybe. It's somewhere
Maruvitans.
Skeleton.
Yeah! I hope this gets through, because I would love to see this on a huge stage.
I would imagine, if I was a betting woman, I would say that this was probably a pretty solid bet to make it to that top eight grouping. Yeah. So, we'll
you had mentioned recurring guy Edgars Krellis?
I think Krellis, but Krellis? Yeah. My Latvian is not so good.
He's got a song called Tridymite, after the mineral or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, and... So I wanted to shout that one out. I also want to shout out a song called Like Me by Celeste, which has a cool kind of Alessia Cara feel to it.
Is he going
to
like me? Is he going to like me? Is it like that?
I will say, though, that it's kind of weird. They released the performance videos, but I'm pretty sure they're performed to like an empty room.
Yeah, that's basically like the audition stage, basically.
Gotcha. There is about an ounce of stage presence between the two of them.
Oh, no.
They're both just very static. I'm pretty sure Celeste is a kid.
Mm.
But the song is just really cool. And Tridymite, same thing. I feel like neither of them have a super great shot of getting especially far.
Edgars Krellis, I think, is well enough known. I think there's been a bit of a push. I also want to shout out, before we move on, the most wonderful song about t-shirts I think I've ever heard.
Oh, yes.
Anna, spelled with 3 N's.
Mm-hmm.
Anna-na-na-na with polyester. It's,
for real?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's good and catchy and kind of irreverent. It's something that I would have expected Estonia to come out in Eesti-Laul like 4 or 5 years ago when they were doing their really wonderfully weird stuff. So, yeah, I'm gonna keep listening to that one.
Well, at least as far as Latvia is concerned, I'm prepared to say that the Baltics are back, baby. Yeah. That's
have you listened to the Estonian songs for this year?
I have not.
Moving on. We have got names announced for Serbia. Probably most notably, girl group Hurricane is a pretty decently well-known group. Really recent, but really upbeat songs. Featuring Serbia's 2016 entrant and, frankly, I think the female version of our co-host, Derek. I've never seen I have seen the two in the same room at the same time.
Together, but...
What?
There's a picture of us side by side. And
you could be family.
We could be brother-sister. It was uncanny.
Yeah.
We could be the same.
They have the same eyes. But, so Sanja Vucic is back... as a member of Hurricane. She's actually alongside Montenegrin backing singer Kseni Knezovic, who's the daughter of Knez, who sang Adio.
Mm-hmm.
So, big connection there. Other Eurovision connections to the Serbian list. Two other singers, Anna Milenkovic and Sanja Bogosavljevic, both members of the group Beauty Queens, who were the backing vocalists for Molitva, who won for Serbia in 2007. So, possibly seeing them back in the fray. And another connection, we noticed that Daniel Kymakovsky, who performed Autumn Leaves in 2015 for what is now North Macedonia, he has written a song for another singer, Igor Simic. So again, most of these songs have not been released to the public yet, but when we do, we'll have to give you guys a rundown. We have names from the Czech Republic.
And we got some great names.
Some amazing names.
Yeah. I'm often underwhelmed by, here's a list of people you've never heard of. Not this time. Oh, man.
You're talking about Pam Rabbit, I'm assuming, right?
In part.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Barbara Mochova, Olga Lunova, Benny Cristo, Karel with three L's.
I feel like that's going to be a trend this year. And we got Anna.
And Karel.
And we got Duncan Lawrence. He changed.
Oh.
It's a different. Yeah.
That's three C's, not K's, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Ooh, just making sure.
But yes, there's a duet of Elis Mraz and Siz T, one of whom is Slovak and one of whom is Czech. Unity, people, unity.
Together again at last.
Yeah, that's intriguing to me.
Yeah.
That there's a Slovak artist.
Well, especially since Slovakia is... Man, are they ever going
to
come back?
I would almost be interested to see if, by any chance...
If this yanks them back? If they were to advance.
Right. If they went to the big show, could that potentially increase a viewership in Slovakia that might pique an interest? Who knows?
The first step towards a velvet remarriage.
First Eurovision, then the world.
Yeah, we're going to get Czechoslovakia back. Mark my words.
Bringing Czechoslovakia back.
So none of those names were the best name, though.
So which ones were you guys thinking about then?
Oh, we all poop.
In my living room?
All of us.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure all of us had the exact same reaction when we went scrolling down the list of the names shortlisted for the Czech Republic's entries. And just scroll up Pam Rabbit, sure, yeah, Barbara Mochova, yeah, sure. And then we just come across a band called We All Poop. That's it. I'm in. I'm looking.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd have to change their name if they got the pass?
No.
No.
Way.
Austria, what are they going to
be like? We All Number Two. Come on.
We All Dump.
Keep in mind, Austria 2012. The band was called Trackshitters.
Oh yeah.
And that did not go uncensored. That was it. Was what it was. The Trackshitters.
Can you imagine though if We All Poop won?
All Poop wins Eurovision.
Yes. They're going to have to say that for years during the interval acts. In the future when they do the cover song roulette thing. And they're like, okay, I'm going to be doing We All Poops.
Welcome the winning entrant from last year. It's We All Poop.
It's going
to
be like...
I mean, I'd go to Prague.
Front page news on the BBC's website.
It's beautiful.
We All Poop.
We're gonna have to get T-shirts. Like all the theme of 2021.
Oh my God, it's just gonna be poop.
It's just the big poop emoji.
We all poop.
We all poop.
2021. We all poop. You know, ESC 2021 in Prague. Sponsored by
Charmin.
Ammonium AD. Good. I can't.
They'll just use open up again.
I can't wait to hear what song they do, and God, I hope it kills.
Oh, what was the weird, really weird genre?
Planned Coincidence Punk Pop.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Oh, what if that's that?
I'm assuming
that has to be real.
I'm
what if it's not?
That.
What if they're the reggaeton?
What if they're reggaeton?
Oh no!
Oh, actually, I could see them being the reggaeton.
Ugh.
I don't know, but anyway, we'll find out on January 20th when the songs are released. And good news, y'all!
The public
can vote via the Eurovision app until February 2nd. That is anybody from around the world.
Oh wait, for real?
For real, you can vote.
But my phone's not compatible. All right, I'll
you can
see.
Borrow mine and vote for We All Poop. We All Poop.
Can we get? Can we like start some kind of
viral
online campaign?
Oh, I think it's already on.
it's definitely already on.
Get on board.
Yeah, so we will know for sure. We will get our winner on the 3rd. Mm-hmm. We All Poop.
Later this week, we'll also have news from Portugal and Iceland. They will have decided on their songs.
Yep, they'll release their songs, their artists. Very exciting. So it'll be after we record this podcast, but probably before you listen to it.
I'm excited for Iceland.
Always.
We've heard that there's been a lot of extra entries. I am curious what the Hatari effect will be.
What if we just get another... what was the...
Choice.
What if we get another one of those?
He was a nice young lad.
What if we get another one of those this year? I can't go back. I refuse to go back.
That song was a disaster.
Yeah. But he was so nice.
Yes, he was lovely. He should have stuck with soccer.
Oh.
I mentioned in our last episode that there are a big group of duds that Slovenia will have to choose from. And we will know which two they went with at about the time you were listening to this show, I think.
I believe so, yes.
So once again, I mean, the news is going to just keep coming in faster and faster these days.
Oh my gosh.
Until we get to mid-February, early March, where it's just going to be an inundation of news, so.
Drinking from a fire hose, yes.
Yes, every year we are going to, every week we are going to have something new.
We will. Woo! It's going to be crazy, and I can't wait. As these countries are picking their songs, we kind of wanted to play around with the idea of, once you have the song, how do you win this thing? These are the big hypotheses. These are the big questions that we totally know that you around the world are trusting four random Americans to answer.
Yeah. Get an American perspective on this question that I'm pretty sure everyone has been asking for the past 40 years anyway.
Yeah.
But you finally turned to us. So.
And you've made the right choice.
Well, how do you win Eurovision? Let's see.
Step one, believe in it.
Believe in it. That's right. Yeah. And then step two has got to be to just roll with it.
Okay. And that's how you win a Eurovision.
So step three is just win.
Yeah. Just do it.
Just do it.
Now, I'm of the opinion, because I am a devoted scholar of Oscars history as well, I'm of the opinion that a lot of the time it just comes down to luck. But I think we can look at a couple of the winners from just the last few years. Last decade, to keep it in the decade.
Except Azerbaijan.
We are going to talk about Azerbaijan, so don't you forget it.
Oh.
Do we have to?
I want
to
forget it.
We definitely have to. Don't worry, it will be palate cleansed immediately.
Okay.
With the...
Purely scientific.
Okay.
With the sorbet that is Euphoria. So I think we're going to touch on things like the exact singer themselves and their talent, the staging, which, you know, is the staging, and I think we should also touch on the behind the scenes, because I feel like politics and the way that the singers interact actually with the press is quite possibly the most important thing. That's what I think.
All right. Well, let's start with the basic stuff.
The worst winner of the decade running scare. Let's
according to our very scientific decision as we made two episodes ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Was it only two episodes ago?
What does that mean?
I guess we got our decade episodes as a single long episode.
Yeah.
3.5 hours.
It was 5 hours.
Thank you for editing that, by the way, Derek. You are doing yeoman's work over there.
Shout out to Derek, friend of the show.
As far as I'm concerned, 2010 to 2019 never happened. I blocked it from my memory.
Aww.
I'm just kidding. So what are we talking about first? So here, I have a question. Before we get started, the things I kind of always wondered about, is there a trend in winners for solo artists versus groups, and is there a trend towards specific ages? I feel like most of the artists tend to be younger, and more often than not is a solo artist.
I feel like that is the case, but I also feel like there are more solo artists that are participating.
Hmm.
And I also feel like the average age of participants tends a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look on the pop charts globally,
that is true.
The artists that tend to be having the most success on a pop chart level tend to be under, I hate to pigeonhole this.
25.
I was going to say 30, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make myself feel even older by agreeing with you at 25.
Logan's run was pretty prescient, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, yeah, that is a trend, but you have these experienced artists come in every now and again, and they're 40s, 50s, been in the business for a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to just dominate with their knowledge, their stage presence, their ability to recognize good music and work an audience, both on television and live.
And oftentimes they do very well. I think about Jelko Juksimovic, who came in second with Lani Moje for Serbia Montenegro. That would have been 2004. 5? No, 4. 4, excuse me. And then he came back in 2012 and came in third place and is, you know, incredibly experienced, incredibly well-known throughout the region. But a lot of times, like you said, Danny, a lot of it comes up to luck. Mm-hmm. That he was going up in a year against a juggernaut that was Euphoria. So it, you could have an incredible song, but the way that the chips kind of fall, if, you know, the running order isn't working in the same way that you would want, or a technical difficulty, or it's just an odds-on fan favorite just happens to be in that same year.
Mm-hmm. It's all about contrasts. I think Euphoria won so handily, in a combination of it being a good song that I think could have won in many other years, but I think it was only improved by the fact that she was going up against a weak year.
You can argue that, certainly. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it wasn't the strongest year. I mean, we found that as we were talking about our verdicts of certain years, that the decade got stronger as the decade went on. Like, the musical quality got stronger, by our opinions anyway.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's wound up jibing with our tastes a little bit more. Derek, I think you're after something, though. You're onto something with the... Derek had a good idea.
Oh,
I think you're onto something with just the solo artist thing.
Mm.
Mm.
And I think a lot of the thing that plays into this is you can love a band or a singer equally, but there's something about competition that makes you try to find someone to identify and sympathize with.
Mm.
And I feel like that is so much easier for both a solo artist, just one singer.
Right.
I feel like that is infinitely easier.
I don't disagree. Yeah, between having a single character to focus on, and also when you have multiple players on a stage, you know, not counting backing singers, backing dancers, mm-hmm. what have you, there are more variables to keep in mind. There are more ways for things to go wrong when you have extra people on stage, frankly.
Yeah.
So when you have a staging, or like what we saw with Duncan Lawrence, or Amar Pelos Deutsch with Salvador Sobral, where it's just one person, that's the focus, you gain that sense of intimacy. And it's
There's no distraction, yeah.
Right.
Your song can be really bombastic and have a lot of production behind it,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you can just perform it like Loreen doing her crab walking across the stage.
Doing the Zoidberg.
There's nothing to distract yourself from. And I, the thing that we talk about all the time on the show is sincerity. In terms of, like, does the song feel genuine, and does it feel like it's being performed by someone who is actually feeling the lyrics?
Right.
That's so much easier when it's just one person. And that's, like, a trope that we talk about all the time in art. You know, it's the one person and their art. I feel like it's a lot easier to believe in that person.
Right.
And strongly believing in an artist is what makes them win.
It's an acting performance, essentially.
The song
is a performance, and they're embodying a character and selling it to you.
And I feel like that's a very modern development, too.
Yeah. Hmm.
I feel like 20 years ago, we wouldn't have that idea about what makes a great song.
Right. I think that an audience can pick up pretty quickly when an artist isn't connecting with the song on a deeply personal level, or they're not selling it well.
Are we going to talk about Italy?
I don't know. Are we?
We have to.
Or if they're phoning it in, people can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is, in fact, what happened with Italy. In 2017.
Yeah. That's Occidentalish Karma.
Yeah, which I find funny that you're saying that with a Portuguese accent. Putting the
Occidentalish
Karma.
No, it's actually Dutch. It's the Occidentalish Karma. Yes, please. Come to this Degenbosch. We can do it. We have to talk about this because this was a great song.
Yeah.
And when I discovered this song, I feel like I came here the next day and I said, why the heck didn't this win?
Mm.
Can we remind the audience this song that should have won?
Yeah.
Derek! So this is a song that plays well, he performed it well, at least in the studio track.
Yes, and at the national final.
Yeah, and I kind of remember looking back when the official YouTube account started posting old shows, and 2017 wasn't one of them because of our geo-blocking overlords, but I found some other websites have the final in
we
full.
We have our ways.
Yeah, there are ways to see it. Hit us up on social media if you want to know about those.
I remember
thinking when it was happening that he was just kind of mailing it in because he was tired of it, but he really gave it his all on the stage, I thought. But
behind the scenes, correct me if I'm misremembering this, but he was in like a subtle way kind of bad mouthing the sort of slog that is Eurovision, though, wasn't he?
Not necessarily.
Wasn't he just exhausted with the song?
You could tell that he was exhausted. Derek and I were kind of behind the scenes because we were working with the Bulgarian delegation that year. So we, you know, we had encountered Francesco and his delegation a couple of times throughout the fortnight. And you can tell, you know, he was kind of getting tired of the slog of having everybody ask him, so what's the deal with the monkey? What's the deal with the monkey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and that even happened.
He got a little belligerent, too. I think on the red carpet, somebody asked him about it. Like, why don't you have more than one monkey? And he's like, no, one monkey. That's it. And I was like, calm down.
Jeez. I think there was a green room segment where he was sitting, you know, in the green room, one of the green room couches with the monkey. And even then, like, it was about the monkey. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about the song. It wasn't about any of it.
I wonder if Conan Osiris had something similar where they brought his costume out and he's like, I don't like this. And they're like, you're stuck with it.
Mm.
If somewhere along the line, he just kind of realized, oh, we shouldn't have done this monkey thing.
It could be. Or it worked well for a Italian audience where you understand the language a little bit more.
Yeah, if you don't have something to grab onto.
Yeah.
Becomes a visual more than anything else.
Yeah, if you don't understand what the song is, you don't have the lyrical context to be able to place it with. So it's just monkey, monkey, monkey. Yeah. That's what you focus on instead of song with deep philosophical message about Orientalism and about, you know, cultural appropriation and co-opting one's culture in order to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say too, having worked with Christian, there were moments where he was tired of it as well. I mean,
With Christian?
Yeah, Christian Kostov.
Yeah,
from Bulgaria 2017. Yeah. He's like, I'm done with this. I just want to be done. I want to go home. You get exhausted.
It's also a 17-year-old kid working his ass off.
Yeah.
But they're waking up early in the morning. They're running around all day. A rehearsal, like a 30-minute rehearsal. You think, oh, that's not a lot of time. It's a full day event. I think the first day we were running around for like 12 or 14 hours.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know how he does it. And neither does he, I don't think. But yeah, I felt really bad for him. And I was like wondering, oh man, is he going to be able to pull this together? He did, where I don't think Francesco was able to.
Yeah.
I think when I look back on Gabani's performance, you know, I still love the song. I think he sung it perfectly fine. I think, Eric, you saw that he was high energy. I saw that he was frenetic and chaotic, and it looked almost disorganized.
That he was forcing something?
Yeah, that he was over-emoting.
Yeah.
Oh, huh.
That's how I read it anyway. But anyway, these are all little idiosyncrasies.
The performance is part of it.
Yeah, performance is absolutely part of it.
And also that his staging wasn't spectacular. Just the animated hands in the background and the monkey. And that was...
Gotta talk about that damn monkey.
Mm-hmm. So I guess counterpoint, and I agree that authenticity is a huge, huge, huge part of a song doing well. I think about Kobe singing Home in Israel 2019. And thinking, I mean, that is as authentic as it gets, I think. He was singing with an unbelievable amount of passion. I mean, he was crying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And no one was into it.
Well, I just didn't like the song. You can perform the heck out of a song, but I just feel like there was nothing.
There was just nothing to it.
I hate to distill this down to it being a mere pop song contest, but there was nothing. There's nothing catchy about that song. I think about... The other end of or on the same end of the spectrum that year was North Macedonia's song Proud, and it's like, I can hum that song in my head, and I can, like, picture that performance, but with him, it didn't stick with me, so. I do not know.
Yeah, you can be an incredible singer, have an incredible passion and conviction for what you're singing, but if the song isn't there, then it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win just on the back of a great voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or else we would have been in Estonia instead of Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we can't just win on the backs of a good song, because this discussion about Italy has shown us that a singer can mess up a song. Just the contest is as much about the singer, about the personality behind the song, as the song is. And I have a feeling that's what made Arcade so popular.
Mm-hmm.
Thing that I didn't understand.
I think that kind of brings up a third thing that is hard to define, but I think is a big part of a song that really sticks out and either wins or at least does very, very well.
Is it cromulence?
It will embiggen the slightest score.
That's
really
cool. Yeah.
And that's just... I talked about this with Spirit in the Sky, and I realize I talk about this song all the time.
You sure do, yes.
But...
Overrated.
Wow.
We're going to start a fight. Wow. Throwdown.
First 2018 Derek's and now this.
Cracking his knuckles.
Boy's got a death wish wow. over
Step
here.
Outside.
Gentlemen.
Anyway, yeah, about Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah. And some other things. And I think it's really easy to point to what this was in a song like Toy or in a song like Occidentalis Karma, which is just an it factor. That there's just something that makes it stick out.
I might almost call it, and this is a little bit reductive, but in a non-internet sense, I feel like the songs have something memeable about them.
Yes. Yeah.
There's
yes.
a recognizable and enjoyable trope in some aspect that the song embodies.
Yeah, yeah. So Toy has the chicken stuff. You yeah. know? Heroes had
the little man. The
yeah, yeah, Balloon Boy. Not that one Balloon
Boy,
but
Balloon
Boy. The other one. And Spirit in the Sky, I argued early on, it has the yoiking. Mm. And people are going to latch onto that. And, just going to point out, it won the Televote.
It sure did.
It did really, really well. And it didn't win, so I guess that means it's not what we're talking about. But I think that that's a big part of a really successful song, is that the memeability, the trope, the mm-hmm. it factor, however you want to define it. Having said that, Amar Pelos Deutsch didn't really have something quite like that. Besides its uniqueness.
I think we can boil this down to almost mm-hmm. like a talk show talking point, but
really?
It subscribes to the trope of not quite like the tortured artist, but like the artist who is like purely authentic because of pain. Hmm. I feel like
that's
that was
Portugal.
I know. Yeah, I mean that is their thing.
Yeah.
But like mm-hmm. that was a very easy story for, I think, people to follow.
Oh, yeah.
Just that's the story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you combine that with the fact that it is a good song and it does have a good performer mm-hmm. behind it, mm-hmm. I feel like if you have a solid story, that's fantastic.
Right.
And it seems that one really was an anomaly, too, because it didn't do anything that you'd expect a winner to do. There was no pyrotechnics. There was not a lot of mm-hmm. the graphics on stage.
Very subtle.
He was just kind of standing there. He didn't look at the camera ever.
No. Oh,
that's right. It's just all down. He was very inward.
Mm-hmm. Which
so
is
kind of
so
again, Portugal.
Having a moment.
But let us combine that with with what I'll call luck, which is just that the front runners that year, I think, might have split votes, and there was just a lot of changing there during the contest.
Not necessarily. I mean, Salvador's win was so overwhelmingly universal. It topped mm-hmm. the jury vote significantly. It topped the public televote significantly.
Yeah, I want to say there was no televote score below five.
Yeah.
So no one blanked it. No one gave it like one or two. It was five or up every single country.
It was pretty universal.
And bear in mind, Bulgaria came second. Their score was still significantly mm-hmm. higher than other winners.
I think Bulgaria's score that year is the second highest, maybe the second highest score of all time.
It's up there.
It's up
and,
there.
And it still didn't win because Salvador's was just through the roof.
Yeah.
I agree that Italy faltering probably helped.
Yes,
true.
But this song was not going to be denied.
I make the joke of, you know, it's like bringing a gun to a knife fight. Portugal brought a bazooka wrapped in velvet and just absolutely dominated.
To preserve it.
But it was so completely different from what people have in their heads as Eurovision. Mm-hmm. Does that make it, you know, stand out by contrast?
It definitely does.
Yeah.
I'll say yes.
Yeah.
I will say yes. He'll say que não se ama sozinho, talvez devagarinho. Can we bring it to... the problem is we're talking about great songs here that clearly deserve to win.
Mm.
Can we talk about Running Scared?
Sure, let's.
That's a great example of a song that deserved to win.
Are you sure?
Get out.
It did the work. It put the artist first.
Let's talk about Running Scared. I mean, it feels like an okay song.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not a bad song.
No. Mm-hmm.
Is there something to be said, though? Let's say, politics aside, let's say it legitimately won. We agree. It did something that I think any country would aspire to, and that's we just need to get enough points from everyone to win. And it doesn't matter how. Like, Duncan Lawrence did not come first in the televote or the jury,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but still took the whole thing.
Right.
Because he was a lot of people just enjoyed the song.
Yeah.
I don't think mm-hmm. he was a lot of people's favorite. I think his win was just like everyone was okay with it.
Right.
And we touched on this with the Junior Eurovision. You know, if your sixth place song gets 0 points, then it's last place overall.
Even though it should be sixth.
If everyone puts a song second or third,
It wins.
It could win.
Yeah.
Just by, because it was everybody's second or third.
I mean, just looking at Azerbaijan's score from 2011, it only had three 12-point scores.
Mm-hmm. Three?
Yeah, it only had three 12 points from Malta, Russia, and Turkey.
Okay.
Well, which makes sense.
They have their voting block.
They do, And there are a number of nations blank them. The country that got the most 12 points that year was Bosnia and Herzegovina with 5. But looking at this, it's 20 of the 25 nations that participated that year got a 12.
That's crazy. But I mean, they couldn't have expected that. They couldn't have anticipated, okay, this is going to be insanely close. We just need to be pretty good, right?
No, you don't go in there to be pretty good. You go in there and hope that you do well. But I don't think, before the contest, nobody was looking at Azerbaijan. It's like what we mentioned before, that with Gabani falling, that would help boost Salvador's win. That was going to be inevitable, but it just increased the length. With Azerbaijan's win, you look at France not doing as well as expected, with the United Kingdom not doing as well as expected, which happened that year, and you sort of see, like, where do the points kind of filter through? So it's a really interesting sort of dynamic there. This is a relatively close year in the finals. They had, in total, 221 points. Rafael Gulatzi, in second place, had 189 points. Compare that to the following year, with Euphoria winning over Party for Everybody from Russia.
Oh, that was Party for Everybody. That was what came in second?
Yes.
Oh,
it was a different time.
Oh, Loreen really did save us, didn't she?
Yeah, she really did. But yeah, so Euphoria had 372 points, with Russia in second place at 259.
Yeah.
So the song that came in second in 2012 still had a higher score than the winner in 2011.
Yeah.
Of course, every year's a little bit different, but Loreen was pretty universally. It was supported by juries, supported by all the televoters.
I think that's a year where we aren't looking at an artist who was just pleasing the most people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she came with a great song, she has a great voice, and she was non-problematic.
Right. Yeah,
she didn't get in the way of her own song. It was just fantastic. She did her crab walking.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
It was beautiful. I honestly think it looks a little silly. I can't believe that a song with that much production and that much bombast was staged that way. But I guess there was no stopping a song that sounds like that.
Definitely not.
And like, compared to the other songs that year, it was still pretty bombastic for the most part, except for like Euro Neuro.
Yeah. That's its own thing, and they were not trying to win.
Looking at like the top grouping of songs and the results in 2012, you had Euphoria, so a banger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Party for Everybody, which is novelty. You know, it's upbeat, but it's novelty.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Nije Ljubav Stvar, so Serbia's Željko Josipović ballad. When the Music Dies from Azerbaijan, ballad. Sus, ballad from Albania. Estonia's Kula, ballad. And then you have to go down to eighth place with Turkey, their final entry with John Bonomo's Love Me Back, before you get into
a
bit more upbeat. Yeah.
Well, she was thanked again that year by what I'll just call luck. Every other country sent...
Well, not every other country. There were plenty of other upbeat songs.
But every other country kind of sent something that was not adjacent to that.
No.
Is that, I'm not meaning to take anything away from Amar Pelos Deutsch. It was not going to be denied.
Mm-hmm.
But that reminds me a little bit of 2019 in that we had so much of the Fuego effect. There were so many upbeat things.
Cyprus brought back Fuego Part 2.
Yeah. But also, just looking at the top, Arcade, Ballad, then you go down, you have Soldi, which...
That was very unique.
Mid-tempo rhythm.
Scream, I guess, was a ballad. But then you've got She Got Me, Too Late for Love, Spirit in the Sky. All of those kind of...
Those are all the same level of energy.
Yeah.
Those are all bangers.
Kind of duking it out. And that made Arcade a little bit easier to rise to the top a little bit.
And I feel like Arcade's only direct competition also did well. It was North Macedonia. That was Proud.
Mm.
Yeah.
They were after something.
Yeah.
There.
Proud was seventh. And you've got Chingiz with Shut Up. You've got
Hey, that's not what it's called.
It's called Truth.
It's called Shut Up!
Zero Gravity, Hatari, Friend of a Friend, Love Is Forever, Replay, Chameleon, and then you get down to
last year was a banger.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone sent their summer beach jams.
And then you had Slovenia.
Yes, Slovenia.
Love it.
And I kind of forget about this. Last year was pretty close. Mahmood was not far behind. Mm-hmm. He was behind by 26 points. Mm-hmm. And that's 13 points in the old voting system.
Yeah, yeah.
That's...
Somebody could sneeze and make the difference for that. I mean,
this is only proving my point. Mahmood, there was no other song like Soldi at the competition.
It almost won.
Yeah, it was well performed. It was really a good song. It had a little bit of the it factor by being unique, by having the thing saying it hurts to be alive.
And yet it was still friendly enough. Like, you could say a lot of the similar things for Hatrid Mun Sigra, but it wasn't going to be universal.
No, no.
People mm-hmm. were going to pick up on it, but it wasn't going to be as universally appealing
Soldi had heart to it. Yeah, it might have been very unique and kind of aggressive mm-hmm. sounding, but it had touching lyrics. It really did. The closer you looked at Soldi, the more deep it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we go back a little bit farther, just thinking about the difference between Hatrid Mun Sigra and, let's say, Hard Rock Hallelujah, which is a metal song that won. One of those was really quite accessible. One of them was very deliberately not accessible.
Absolutely. But also keeping in mind that when Lordi won in 2006, it was pure televote.
Oh,
that's right.
It was pure televote. And also the structure of both Hatrid Mun Sigra and Lordi, Hard Rock Hallelujah, they're pretty standard song structures. You know, verse, chorus, bridge.
Key change, chorus.
So there is a little bit of familiarity in that, even if you're screaming in Icelandic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know,
please give me more of that.
Yes, please.
Yes.
But as we work backwards year by year, keeping with, you know, the same voting format and basically the same era of pop music, 2 years ago, Toy, once again, there wasn't a lot of other songs like that.
Never.
And what came in second? Fuego, which, again, there really wasn't a lot like that. There wasn't a hard, aggressive Beyoncé-style banger.
No, there really wasn't, actually, thinking about it. There
was a lot of low-key kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And mid-tempo sort of stuff,
too. A lot of ballads, a lot of almost, like, easy-listening pop 2 years ago, almost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys sure did love Lithuania, too. But
yeah,
that was just the standout.
Oh, that wasn't 2017, though.
No,
Lithuania was 2018. Yeah, it was right. No, but 2017 was a Reign of Revolution by Fuse Mark.
Oh, God, that was just about the most awful thing.
Yeah. But
2018, you look at what rounded out the top five. It was Austria, Nobody But You. Mm-hmm. And then fourth place was...
You Let Me Walk
Germany,
Alone.
Germany, Walk Alone. And then fifth place was Italy with...
Non mi avete fatto niente.
I can't even try to say that. But all
well
like
done.
Fairly...
Va bene.
Mm-hmm. Not really bangers in any... I mean, Italy, maybe.
Well,
no, more of a driving rock sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did have Lie to Me.
Yeah.
Which came in sixth.
Yeah. Right. But Dance You Off was more mid-tempo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was more chill. Yeah.
And
My
no
Lucky Day
liked
wasn't
that.
Like that, you know.
My Lucky Day was in a class all its own.
The thing was, My Lucky Day is not a great song. It's not a great song. And those three weren't particularly virtuosic singers, but it was just...
But it didn't matter.
It was so charming. The staging there was what was charming, but that one aspect alone can't make it a winner.
You're forgetting a couple of really big bangers from 2018, though.
Yes.
And these didn't do as well, like Vyslodnyar.
I think that goes... I think that's past pop. That's metal.
Well,
that's
metal. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's,
I thought Fallen-A deserved better, but there were some...
There
were some staging problems there as well. And you're forgetting the biggest banger of them all, which is Outlaw in E minor. That finished about where it should have.
Can I ask Sam? You might have the best encyclopedic knowledge here as we're really narrowing down what makes a winner. What was the last genre song that I think won? Everything else, and I mean that by, like, you know, pop is a very wide encompassing genre, but like, when was the last time we had like a more country style song or a more folk style song electronica?
Hard Rock Hallelujah,
well,
maybe?
It was full on rock, but like Amar Belish Deutsch, jazz.
It's still solidly accessible.
Absolutely. We almost had a country winner in 2014.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh,
yeah, we did.
Almost could have.
Absolutely. So, I mean, in terms of other genres...
it seems like straightforward pop or the singer-songwriter style pop.
Yeah.
Seems to be...
I mean, toy is sort of an... Toy is just sort of a little bit more avant-garde. Mm-hmm. I mean, 1944, that is jazz pop, jazz mm-hmm. balladry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very traditional, like, pop music in, like, the idea of there being, like, mainstream, like, 40s music.
Right. Fairy Tale brought in a lot of folk elements.
It sure did.
Mm-hmm.
And to, just if you throw enough...
To say that one, that was one of the most winningest songs of all time.
Absolutely.
But that was a fairly weak year, and that one, and his song really stood out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He absolutely dominated that year. Like, the year before his win, it was won by 272 points. The year after his win, it was 246 points. He won with 387 points.
In the original voting system, that was by far the biggest win ever,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
That was insane.
He stomped it. Absolutely stomped it.
But if you go back and watch the year, it's pretty apparent why. There was a lot of kind of mid-tempo ballads mm-hmm. in that year. When his song comes on, you're like, oh, this is...
Mm-hmm. You can't take your
really
eyes off
stands it. It. And yeah. It's got a lot of energy. It's really bright. It's really mm-hmm. fun. It's catchy.
A certain degree of enigmaticness. That's definitely not what that word is.
Enigmatism. Which is what I got treated for as a 16-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. But somebody like Reebok or like Mons or like Netta, these are just great personalities. And that's...
I was saying that at the very beginning. Yeah. The singer is half the story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we've come full circle.
I love that.
I think I will make the sweeping conclusion that there's no one way to win, but I think you have to tick enough boxes that no other song ticks.
True.
And these are, like, most importantly, a singer whose story is clear.
Mm-hmm.
A singer whose personality is very clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You gotta have a good song
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of luck. There has to be nothing else like you.
Yeah, be unique.
Nobody but you.
Be unique, but still accessible.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to tick all the boxes. You just have to tick more boxes than
anybody else.
Yeah.
It feels like, I wonder this sometimes too, with the countries that really push out their release of their songs, if they don't have like 5 or 6 songs at the ready and artists like ready to go, and they're like, okay, we're going to see what everyone else does, and then we're going to release this one.
I've never really seen that phenomenon, personally. I mean, you and I have worked behind the scenes with a delegation that had its song in advance, but I can't speak for all delegations. Of course, but
I mean, it's entirely possible that there's a country. I mean, when Bulgaria had Beautiful Mess, they knew that they were sitting on a winner.
Oh yeah,
to a certain extent, like they were going all in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help. I mean, there must be a country out there somewhere. Maybe Russia. They seem very they plan ahead. I mean, they clearly mm-hmm. take this very seriously. But I almost wonder if there's a country that's like, okay, you guys. You each have this song. You're all sitting on, like, really, really good songs. We're going to put together, we're going to plan a stage, and we're going to see what everyone else does, and we're going to pick the one that really stands out.
It would be interesting to look, and maybe this is something that we could look into and follow up on in a later episode, but if there is any sort of correlation to when a song releases and where the...
I'm not a statistician. I'm not doing that.
Or just if there's any sort of pattern to when the winner is released.
Sure.
And some of that stuff, because national final season is just kind of...
It is what it is.
Yeah, but it would be interesting to take a look at if there's any sort of recognizable thing there. So
I'd be curious too if it was internal selection versus national selection as well. Mm-hmm. If there's any correlation
mm-hmm.
at all there.
Well, that's going to be an interesting pick.
No way. Yeah. Curated selection all the way. The people are dumb. The citizenry can't be trusted with art!
When was the last time an internal selection won?
Arcade!
Yeah!
Oh, that was internal?
That was completely internal.
I forgot.
Toy was half and half. That was
the intellectual oligarchs of the Netherlands chose right!
And they chose wisely, yes.
They did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now we get to go have more stroopwafels for 2 weeks.
Pancakes.
Yeah.
And chocomel.
I think at the end of the day, before we recorded, we decided to ask our listeners to define a winning song in one single word. And our good friend John P. Egan said a maze, which is certainly true. Mm-hmm. But I think our brothers in the podcasting world, the folks over at Fast Food and Fireworks,
they really hit the nail on the head.
They just said points.
Oh, that's it.
That's what
we need points.
God. Points.
Duh.
I forgot. We wasted an entire hour. All right. Well, I mean, you guys can listen to us next week, but we'll probably make another stupid mistake like this again.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. You should just listen to Fast Food and Fireworks from
please,
the get-go.
Please hit us up on Twitter at 12pointsUSA, 12pointsUSA. Hit up Eric and Sam. We always plug their individuals. Eric's at Eric is tweeting. tweeting. Mm-hmm. Sam's at ESC Insider.
That's me.
Derek and I will never tell you what our Twitter handles are.
Does that mean that you have them?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Please hit us up at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We love your emails.
Yep. We're on email.
Until then, I'm Danny.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Eric. And America,
stop. We all poop. Now. Game thinking the rain. It'll just be a Dutch accent for that. For that song.
There's our sticker.
That's great.
What's with the monkey?
Sinking in the rain. Mm. All right, and back.